are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Thursday edition of the program. We moved Nick Winkler back one day because he was on vacation, and I'm heading on vacation today, basically. So this is awesome that we were able to meet and squeeze this in between our Lake Tahoe vacations, right? So before I bring Nick on the show, just want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show, tell your smart speaker, play podcast Locked On 49ers, tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. If they're not a Niner fan, let them know they've got a podcast covering their team daily here on the network. Find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And those are the best places to get those mailbag questions in. We will dip into that mailbag today with my guest, Mr. Nick Winkler.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, how are you, sir?
Ah, man, it's nice to be back in you know, 60-degree weather after being up in Tahoe for a few days with the family. And you wake up in the morning, it's like, you kids want to go outside? Oh, wait, it's 14 degrees outside. Maybe we'll wait till the sun comes up a little bit more.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to get up there and play around in the snow, and little Leo's first time in the snow. And so we'll have him bundled up and probably barely be able to see his face sticking out of, and he won't be able to move, but whatever, we'll plop him down in the snow for a bit.
Yeah, just make sure you feed them a little bit of snow, because my kids, that was their favorite part. Was just like, oh, man, we want to eat snow,
but
Daddy, eat snow.
I have to teach my son a lesson that was taught to me a long time ago by my father, and it's very important. Never eat the yellow snow.
Yeah, my daughter was a little confused by that at first. She's like, but why, Daddy? Why would I not want the yellow snow? It's like, well, you know when you go potty?
That's awesome.
And then you just see her eyes light up. It's like, oh
yeah. Yellow
and
snow.
She said, I won't eat the brown snow either, Daddy. Like, you're a smart girl.
Slow down, Penelope. Slow down.
No, it was a lot of fun, man. I hope you guys have a great time.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. It's going to be a blast. Got a bunch of old friends going. Do a little skiing, do a little gambling, hanging out with fams and kids, and it's going to be crazy.
Oh, that's great.
Let's talk a little Niners.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, the season never ends, man.
Never ends. Well, the 2019 season ended for at least one 49er. I guess we got to start there. Earl Mitchell. The 49ers will decline Earl Mitchell's 2019 option, so he is not going to be manning the nose tackle position anymore for the 49ers. And you saw an article. I did not see the one that mentioned Pierre Garçon as well.
Yeah, you know, I was a little bummed about the Earl Mitchell thing just overall. You know, when the signing happened, I was like, good. Yeah, that's a guy who'll stop the run. The middle of the defensive line's taken care of now, blah, blah, blah. That never really came to fruition. And, yeah, the article I saw on, I think it was Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area or something, was they were talking to Shanahan, and he mentioned the Earl Mitchell thing. And he's like, yeah, and I talked to Garçon too. And, you know, we told him as soon as we know what we're going to do, you know, we're probably not going to be picking up your $6 million option. And they left the door open for both guys, though, to saying, like, they won't be coming back under their current deals. So, you know, they could always rework something and bring either one of those guys back, I suppose.
Right. And even when they signed him, it was one of those imminent things where you're like, they're not going to earn the last years of those contracts. And they didn't really earn them because I think they're beaten out by other guys. And I think if after the draft, after free agency, maybe, you know, maybe there's some injuries in camp, and then you're like, okay, bring them back at a smaller number if you're really hurting for bodies. But right now, you know, it's not surprising at all. Those guys, Malcolm Smith's another one that is going to be very interesting. If they do add a linebacker in the offseason, then he might be another one. And it sucks for those guys because they signed contracts in that offseason where the 49ers roster was completely gutted. They needed bodies. They needed guys who could start and people they trusted and knew that could at least start some games for them. But it was almost like, you're not going to get a chance to play when we're actually good. And you kind of knew that from the start.
Yeah, but I think they got a lot of money up front too. So I think it's kind of like, yeah, you guys are all right. Like, we paid you well to kind of be that stopgap.
Right. They did what they were signed to do, I think.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
And good, you know, they brought those guys in not just because of their physical talent, but the people they were and the locker room guys they were too, I think, especially Earl Mitchell. He's loved by everyone, the beat writers, everyone likes him. And he actually had a little statement on Twitter. He said, "I'm very thankful for my time with the Niners. I put my heart and soul into this game. So as always, I'm thankful for every opportunity. Good luck to all my brothers, especially in the D-line room."
That's great. Classy, class act. Yeah. Man, I love it.
Yeah, like Big Earl. No ill feelings toward Big Earl at all. But now they're going to get younger on the D-line and presumably big opportunity for DJ Jones to take over that starting nose tackle role, at least on base downs.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of did, right, at the end of last season. Yeah, that's why Mitchell wasn't even active.
Mm-hmm. No, that's totally right.
So that's good news. I mean, you know, you win the job outright, you get a chance to do it again this year. You know, they're going to bring in competition because, again, not a great football team. You know, nobody's really totally safe in their positions. There's probably only a couple of guys that are considered, you know, guaranteed starters, like Fred Warner and DeForest Buckner. I think maybe that's right. It.
It will be interesting how that playing time shakes out with the sub packages, because you've got Buckner, Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, Sheldon Day. Then you still have the youngsters, second-year guys, Julian Taylor, Kentavious Street, who's basically a rookie next year. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, after they add Quinnen Williams at number two in the draft. So,
right? Is that where you're leaning? Is that what you're penciling in right now?
I don't know. It's kind of become a funny joke, and we've got three more months of this to
I like it, though. I like hearing where you go. Like, I like watching your ebb and flow.
The 49ers have the second pick. Your big board needs to be two players long at this point, and it's Bosa and him. Those are the two best guys. So it's going to be very interesting, because obviously the 49ers don't want to draft Quinnen Williams. I don't think the 49ers should draft Quinnen Williams just based on that alone, because you would hope that a couple of other things could happen first, like Nick Bosa is the guy who's there because he's obviously the better fit. Or me personally right now, it's not the case. Maybe I would love to fall in love with Josh Allen. I don't know if the 49ers have or will. I'm not sold on him as being one of the top two players in the draft, but maybe that would be a way to go, and he could really help his cause by blowing away the combine. So that would be huge. Or
it sounds like he's kind of hurting his cause, though, by not going to the Senior Bowl.
Because you can see what someone like Montez Sweat can do. And everyone's like, oh, my God, okay. When you're the best guy, when you're chiseled out of granite and you show up and you dominate, that is massive. And we've seen players. Baker Mayfield was the number one pick in the draft last year. At this time last year, I thought Baker Mayfield was going to go number one in the second round, not the first pick in the first round. So that's what can happen. And Montez Sweat is showing you why. I really happen to think that Josh Allen didn't want to weigh in yet, because I think he's much lower than that 260. There's no chance. He was listed at 6'5", 260. That was just a flat lie. He's definitely not that.
He wants to put on a little weight before the combine.
Yeah, he wants to show up big. He wants to show up fast. It will be interesting if he's not worried about being fast. He wants to be big because he knows he's athletic already and the size is what matters. Or maybe just it was straight injury. His agent's like, look, whatever. You fall to 5 instead of 2. You're not hurt. You're not going to fall into the second round because you tear your ACL playing a stupid game.
That's a good point.
That, you know, I understand why he did it, but you do miss a little bit of an opportunity for a team to fall in love with you. But obviously, a trade at either number one or number two would also be massive for the 49ers. So both a trade, those would go before Q. But that's where it gets weird. No trade opportunity. Bosa goes one. That's going to be a huge conversation and a huge argument pretty much between 49ers fans for the next couple months.
Well, yeah, you think the 49ers have to have a few teams penciled in too. Like, okay, these guys are looking for a quarterback, you know, and if Bosa does go one, then you know they're going to be on the phone trying to do something with a few people. And then, you know, then your big board's got to be a little bit bigger. You know, you got to think, all right, if we do drop back to, you know, outside the top 10 or something like that, like who can we get? You know, is it worth it for us to get out of here instead of getting a guy like Street or a guy like Smith or, you know, somebody that Williams even, you know, it's one of those things where you know that they've got a couple guys that they really want to have on their team, but then you got to weigh in the value. You know, is that guy actually going to be the best fit for our team? You know, he may be the best player available, but maybe not for our scheme. Maybe we've already got a guy in that position that we've invested a lot of money in or a high draft pick. And yeah, like you said, man, that's when stuff really starts to get weird. I love it.
And needs change so quickly. So if you start drafting for need 2 years later, think about how different rosters look and what your needs were 2 years ago versus now. Right. It just changes so much. So most times draft the best player and that's the way to go. So if there's a big gap there, it's going to be hard to talk me out of just not taking the best guy at two. But we've got a lot of time to talk about that. There might even be some mailbag questions about it. Let's take a quick break here and then jump into that mailbag.
Cool.
Okay, here's a question from, let's see, where did that go? Madden 20 49ers GM. I love that handle because he already gave up on the Madden 19, right?
Right. He's like, next year.
Yeah, I'm done with this one, and I wasn't good. But I'm going to kill it next year, man.
It's not even out till August, but I got it.
My Twitch is going to be fire in Madden 20.
I'm going to bump up to like 10 viewers, man.
He asks, do you enjoy a rum runner? Are you familiar with a rum runner?
I don't know what that is.
So it's a tiki cocktail. I don't even know what's exactly in it. All the rum tiki sort of drinks are very similar, daiquiri style drinks.
Yeah, they're all delicious.
Right. And so very sweet. They're not my style of drink. So I personally do not enjoy a rum runner. You know what's funny? The closest bar to my house, it's basically on my block, is a brand new tiki bar. It's like become nationally world renowned tiki bar that's like this. It's insane. It looks like Indiana Jones inside. Like, they built this thing out like crazy. Like, you'll see it in all the big trade magazines, the cocktail magazines, like one of the hip bars in the country right now. It's the closest bar to my house. And I've been in there a couple times, and it's cool. It's kind of wild. It's almost like too much. You're like, God, you guys kind of overdid this a little bit. But it's a tiki bar. It's called Last Rites. Cocktails are great, but the rum cocktails are just not my style. And these are done really well, and they're not as big and sweet as some would be, but yeah, rum drinks aren't my thing.
I love a good rum drink, but I have to be on vacation, you know, and it's the middle of the day and I'm right. on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna love that rum cocktail and the next three that come after it. I'm gonna be in bed by 6 p.m.
A beach, hot outside, so a body right. of water near you, an umbrella in it.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a nap after it because I'm gonna be a little bit drunk, and I'm gonna drink a bunch of water before I go down, and then I'm gonna wake up and have a good night.
But that's the thing. No. With those drinks, it's like they're strong too. That's why the sugar just like kind of covers up how strong those drinks are.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned the new tiki bar by your house. I watch a lot of Bob's Burgers, and there's one where they change Bob's Burgers into like a tiki restaurant. And, you know, they get super busy and they're like, it's not about the tikis. It's an entry point. It gets people in here. And that's what makes me think about the bar next to you. It's like people want to come in and see the Indiana Jones tiki bar.
They just get you in so they can charge you $3,000 for a cocktail. Yeah. Oh, $12 is like, that's a glass of water, dude. That's like, oh, sparkling water, $12.
Oh, my God. Heavenly right now is for a Bloody Mary, $22.
Oh, like on the slopes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a snowboarder, skier?
I am.
Snowboarder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Snowboard, yeah. I skied when I was a kid, and then, you know, once it was up to me, well, I started snowboarding.
I'm still a big kid, so I ski.
Oh, I'd love to see you ski. You're so tall. I bet that looks really cool.
What I do is you point straight down the hill, and then you curl into like a little ball, just, get aerodynamic, and then you just jam.
Do you just french fry and pizza all the way down?
No food, no food items. Actually, it's all french fries, no pizza. That's the way I die.
There you go. You mogul man?
No, straight. I want it flat and straight and fast.
That's it. Yeah, no, I'm like that too on my board, man. I just want to cruise. I want to just go left and right and, you know, hit the powder as much as I can, stay off the ice. I'll hit the occasional jump. But yeah, I miss it, man. It's rough too going up there with kids because it's like I wasn't gonna go up there by myself and leave the wife with the kids. So I'm just seeing all these people going up with their boards. I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous.
My wife does not ski, so that's I'm gonna have to talk her into sitting while I go. Then I'll look after Leo while she does shopping or whatever else she wants to do.
Yeah, my wife took my daughter ice skating. And met another woman who had two kids, and they were out there, and the husband was up snowboarding. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm a chump. I had it right. What am I doing? I'm doing something wrong here.
Yeah, you blew it, man. Well, it's vacation. You can't do anything wrong. And I'm not going to be plugged in, too. So I'm going to miss an episode of the podcast. I'm not going to be tweeting. I'm going to try to leave my phone somewhere where I'm not looking at it. I got to unplug a little bit because things have been kind of nuts, and I've been too busy. So I need to unbusy myself for a few days.
The only text I sent was to you. Like, yes. Oh, I forgot to tell Brian. I'm going out of town.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, and then same thing, man. I just put the phone away, and it was a great time.
And thanks for making the time for just coming right
I'm
back
exhausted.
Down the hill. And...
Yeah, we got home, and then I was like, oh, sorry, honey. You got to put the kids to bed. I got to go do the podcast.
Let's keep going with this mailbag here because there's a question about the Hall of Fame that I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Super early mailbag question from 904 Niners Nation. Some people like to get it in early. And when I call for them, so many come in at one time. the smart money is to just drop a weird mailbag question on me at a time when I'm not like overrun with them, and they might sneak right in there like this one.
Well, I looked at your mailbag too, and I didn't see any with me tagged in it. So that's also another way to get on the show.
Right. Tag Wink. If you want to talk to Wink, you got to tag Wink.
Yeah. I don't know. Was I in this one? Because I don't know if I'm going to answer it.
Yes. This is at me, at you.
Okay. All right.
Super early mailbag question that he sent last week at some point, I think. Only one player gets in the Hall of Fame. The others stay out. Who do you pick? Roger Craig, Bryant Young, Patrick Willis, or other?
Oh, you know me. I'm such a Willis guy, but Roger Craig changed the game.
Roger Craig is the most hosed person in the NFL Hall of Fame right now. So that's easily my vote.
You watch any film of that guy playing, and he created the wide receiver out of the backfield. Like, I'd have to go Craig. You know me. Patrick Willis is my second favorite 49er of all time. But just based on the revolutionary, you know, of the game, and if Willis had maybe played a few more years, you know, I think he'd really get my vote in there. But yeah, dude, I got to go Roger Craig. Those high knees.
And of course, Patrick Willis is your second favorite all time to RW McCorders.
Dude, how'd you know? That's like been my deep dark secret.
I saw his name the other day on my timeline. He's like, why is somebody talking about RW Quarters and McCorders? And thank you for bringing him up, because I had forgotten about him almost.
He dated a girl I went to high school with. She used to be a 49er cheerleader. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember them dating for a little while. No, you know me. I love Bryant Young too. I mean,
same.
An amazing defensive lineman, but yeah, you got to go Craig on that.
Ultimate respect for Bryant Young, Patrick Willis. Patrick Willis has time too. But right now, yeah, Roger Craig, first ever 1,000-yard receiving, 1,000-yard rushing season, and that's still only been done, Marshall Faulk, and is that it? I think someone did it recently, right?
Didn't McCaffrey do it?
Oh, McCaffrey did it. That's what it was. Yeah, so McCaffrey's the third guy ever. In this day and age, it's such a different era. You would think it's still done more. That's how crazy it was for him to do that in the late 80s.
Yeah, I mean, that was it, man. Like I said, he set the bar. He showed you how you could do it in that West Coast offense and make the running back just a dual threat and really give defensive coaches nightmares, man. And
absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. He's been hosed.
This is a memory lane segment. So let's go to Jose's question. He said, what is your favorite memory you have as a 49ers fan? Some of mine are the Young Super Bowl postgame speech, Owens catch 2, Niners versus Saints, the playoff game, and Owens at the Dallas Star. Those are all good ones.
Those are all good ones, man. I mean, my first memory of the 49ers is Joe Montana to John Taylor in the back of the end zone. So that's always just going to be my number one, because I'm sitting on my dad's lap, and that's when I really became a 49er fan.
Same here. We're of the same era, so that's like those years, that 88, 89, that really sticks out to me, because that's where he was like, okay, this is like amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Garcia's comeback win against the Giants in the playoffs, like that was amazing. Terrell Owens, 20 catch game. When he passed Jerry Rice in Jerry's last game.
Right, which was like, I hated that kind of.
I did too, but it's one of those that like always sticks with you. It's like, wow.
I was thinking, are they really going to do this right now?
I know. In his last game, like you're just going to keep feeding him? Right in front of him?
It wasn't a huge game because it was week one, but what about the Garrison Hurst game winning like 90, whatever it was?
Yeah, against the Jets with the stiff arm.
The stiff arm. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Tim Rattay leading the 49ers over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the year after the Bucs won the Super Bowl. I was at that game, fifth row, yelling, "Whoa, Ray!" That was a lot of fun with my boy Money.
I do not remember that game at all.
Oh, it was not a big game at all. Okay. The Niners just weren't very good, and the Bucs were coming off winning the Super Bowl. So it was just, you know.
And you were there.
And I was there, fifth row, right behind Tampa Bay. So that was like at the 50-yard line, too. I mean, the best seats I've ever had by far.
And unfortunately, not old enough to remember the catch.
I was not. No, although, I was a little young for that.
It's a great like thing to relive now and see it. That would have been awesome to be a part of and like be coherent when that happened.
Yeah, I mean Steve Young winning the Super Bowl, you know, getting the monkey off his back.
Right. Yeah, that touchdowns. Super Bowl speech.
Yeah,
just blowing them away in the Super Bowl. That was kind of fun.
Ugly
just,
unis though. Oh.
I know. That was
the worst.
Not into it.
No, not at all. Those are by far the worst. Oh, Kaepernick's playoff win against Packers.
Yeah.
That
was a great win. And that Saints game, the Alex Smith and that Saints game is a really good one. And that article, if you haven't found it, go look at Matt Barrow's article at The Athletic, where he breaks it down from all kinds of angles. Really cool reliving that playoff game against the Saints.
Yeah. No, it's just, there's so many memories, man. It's, Deion Sanders and Andre Rison fighting.
That's a good one. Yes.
Yeah. Jerry Rice, too, and Deion. No, who did Rice fight with?
Rice, I think, had a thing with Deion, too.
Yeah, I think so. I think before he became a Niner, yeah.
Actually, there's a question about Deion. Let's tease that because I got to take a quick break here. After the break, we've got a Deion question that we'll start with. All right, we've got SoCal Ballin on Twitter is asking a question about Deion Sanders. He said, hey, man, love the podcast. Thank you very much. Most definitely in my top five. I wish the podcast, by the way, is in his top five. I would love to see who's the top four if I'm five. I'm guessing I'm one and there's four behind me. I don't know why you put it that way.
Clearly.
Saying top five makes it seem like I'm five and there's four ahead of me. I don't know. he says, I wish Deion Sanders was brought around the facilities and team more. To me, he's a Niners legend, and he really helped us win that Super Bowl. Hashtag primetime.
He definitely did.
No doubt he helped him out with that Super Bowl. I'm not the hugest Deion Sanders fan. Like, I just, like, he's on TV a lot. Or, he actually, he's not on TV as much as he was. He was kind of oversaturated for a while, NFL Network. And it's like, I don't need to hear him talk. And but as far as, like, giving him his due, I mean, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, corner of all time. And it was a huge part of the 49ers win that Super Bowl. So, massive props.
And return man, too. Let's not forget.
Right. Oh, just dynamic. That stride is crazy.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I want him around the facilities at all. Like, we got enough divas, you know. Like, we don't need any more. And I don't even think we have any divas, to be completely honest with you.
It's one of those things, like, too, where he's not the type of guy that is going to coach somebody up either. I don't feel like he's the type of guy that's going to give pointers, because how do you teach what he had?
Right, you can't. That's just that natural speed. Right. I mean, he's like, born with that.
Why don't you run faster?
Right. Cover better.
Yeah, blink at that fool.
Right. Play baseball also.
Yeah, thanks, Deion. Let's go to Derek. He said, you talked about the dirty factor when it comes to just rebuilding the Seahawks defense and going after Earl Thomas and KJ Wright, but at what point does it become a concern if we're just building up a defense that went stale in Seattle? I get you always want to acquire talented players, but what if the last time all these talented players were together, they looked past their peak as a unit, especially when the Niners won't be trotting out key pieces like Bobby Wagner, Cam Chancellor, or will a similar lineup avoid being stale just with the change of scenery for a lot of these key players?
Yeah, I don't know if I buy the thing that they went stale. Just, I think that they just became overpriced, and so they had to get rid of a lot of guys, and they had to, you know, their contracts just became too expensive for them. And I don't know. I like the idea of bringing some more guys that know the system. You know, it just makes sense. You know, you bring in some veterans and they can help teach it to the younger guys, right? I mean, that's what we did with Sherman. And I think that worked out extremely well. I mean, you know, there hasn't been that guy opposite him yet that's like, okay, yeah, no, I'm going to do exactly what he did because he's my mentor. But you watch him out there and he's a coach on the field and he does his job nearly better than anybody else. I mean, I'd love to see some numbers about how he shaped up against other cornerbacks in the NFL, because he's got to be top five, right? Nobody even aimed at him. No one even went towards him.
Yeah, and a lot of that, I think, was just because they didn't have to. But and I wonder, I would love to see a lockdown corner on the other side, and if teams were forced to throw at him,
right,
I think teams could have a little bit more success against him than maybe in his prime.
Yeah.
But he's just so smart. And yeah, it was crazy that nobody even tried it. Like, teams just never even looked his way.
Yeah, I mean, it might expose him. You know, maybe it was a thing where it's like, okay, why would we go after him when they got this other guy on the other side? You know, that clearly doesn't really know what he's doing yet. So let's go ahead and expose that.
Exactly. But he did play well, even when they did target him times that they did. Although his PFF numbers aren't quite as high as you would expect. We talked a little bit about that with Jeff Deeney. That's going to be, I believe, coming up in part two on Monday that I already recorded. But his grades aren't like in the stratosphere. He's not one of the top two or three or four corners in the league as far as grades go. And I think part of that is just because he wasn't targeted that much. And then when he was, it was a situation where a guy was obviously open. So that's when they threw it to him.
Right.
Let's go to James Ritchie via email, not to be confused with Richie James. Mm-hmm. What are your feelings on the new league starting up, the AAF in February and then the XFL in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing's going to replace the NFL.
I can already tell you don't care. You're trying to pretend that you care about that, with those leagues, but you don't.
And I mean, I'll clearly watch the AA one, you know, but I don't know.
I'm interested to see.
XFL had its chance, man.
I wonder if there's more of, well, first of all, there's a whole culture. And I was a WWF fan when I was a kid.
Me too.
When
I thought it was real.
Right. And not as much anymore, but that is a massive brand and they've got power. And I don't know what they did wrong the first time that they think they can redo it and it's going to be better.
They didn't have good players.
Well, none of these leagues are.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you want to watch, you know, subpar football. Cool. Have fun.
That's why I'm not super excited about them. It would be cool if it was players that might someday, you know, like a true minor league where some of them might make it into the league.
Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't happen that
college football is the minor league. So
exactly.
Why would they need these other leagues? But with the XFL, the one thing I could see working is since the XFL originally failed, the NFL has gotten a lot softer. And so
that's
maybe
true.
Those people that want that hard hitting brand, I've got to imagine they're not going to care too much about player safety in the XFL. That would be the only thing they could exploit, really, is going that route with things. Then maybe they'll be able to get some traction. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get too political, but you're not going to care about player safety, but you're going to care if they kneel. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not into the XFL at all.
What if they make everybody kneel in the XFL?
Yeah, I think it's the opposite. I think you get kicked out if you kneel. I think that was one of the things they wanted to promote.
Oh, really? I missed that. I did not see that.
Yeah, no, it's one of the things Vince McMahon said. Yeah, it really turned me off to the whole league. Like, you know, it's one thing you want to protest and this and that, but don't go out there and be like, this is what we stand by and this
but,
and that.
See, that's not a Vince McMahon brand. What he would want is to have Hulk Hogan, All-American hero, against the Iron Sheik, right? Who's spitting
on
the
flag. Have them referee the game so that really no holds barred. You get some steel chairs out there. You know, you unleash a snake or something. I don't know. Honky Tonk Man starts using a guitar. I'm good with that.
Dude, they should be, yeah, those should all be legal. DDT.
The losing team comes out and Brutus the Barber Beefcake cuts their hair.
Right, yeah. DDT fools all you want. Leg locks, whatever.
Perfect.
Let's finish up with Steve on Twitter. This is an interesting question. He said, imagine Twitter existed in the 94-95 season. Who would have had the best Twitter handle and on that championship roster, and who would have gotten in the most trouble using Twitter?
Oh, damn.
First of all, I think I picture somebody like Ronnie Lott.
Yeah.
Because Ronnie Lott now is like a graceful older guy, and he's smart. But I wonder if when he was full of piss and vinegar, what kind of stuff he would say about guys.
Yeah, he would not have been the I'm going to censor myself kind of guy.
But he's smart, so maybe he would have. Maybe he would have been. Maybe he would have known the time and place because he wasn't that much of a talker. He was more of a shower, I guess, on the
field. That's true.
So actually, Dion's the one. Imagine Dion on Twitter.
Of course. Especially back then, like if it was brand new or something.
Right.
Oh, yeah. He would have got himself in a lot of trouble.
And just look at his style and some of his outfits and his hair back in the day. Like, he didn't have great.
About Ricky Waters, though.
Oh, Ricky Waters is a good one.
That could have been some trouble. Steve Young, clearly, he would have got himself in trouble. Dick pics and stuff.
He would be texting guys, hey, you should probably delete that tweet, dude.
You're exactly right. He'd be the dad.
People like Charles Haley or Gary Plummer.
Dude, Gary Plummer, I love that guy.
Yeah. Gary Plummer played nose tackle at Cal and ended up playing linebacker in the NFL.
That's wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because that's I saw an old game. It was ESPN Classic a long time ago. I saw a game. It was Gary Plummer, and he was lining up straight over the center. And I was like, oh, my God, 250-pound nose tackle, basically. But that was when guys were a lot smaller. And
yeah, when it was we have a 300-pound lineman.
Yeah, we have a 300-pound lineman. Yeah. Now they don't even let you in the room if you're not 300 pounds.
Yeah, it's amazing how much has changed in 20 years, man.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it really is.
It's totally crazy. I'm interested to hear from the listeners, though. There's probably some people we're not thinking of and maybe on other rosters, too, that would have been wild on social media and Twitter back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Please bring it.
The Boz. Actually, you know who would have been terrible is Warren Sapp.
Yeah, Vince McMahon.
Because that dude just loves to flap his gums. Imagine him being 22 years old and having Twitter.
Or Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn, right.
Right. I would have loved that. I would have got myself in a lot of trouble.
I think, and I think earlier on, there's more possibility for people to get in trouble because I think everyone's schooled up on it now and almost grew up with it at a certain point. So
people are kind of used to it and know how to navigate a little bit better and know what to do and what not to do. It's like it would have been like the early days. It's like, okay, here it is, 1994, Twitter, go. And it would have been madness.
I used to be a big talker, a lot of just free flowing of my nonsense. And now in my old age, I've become a voyeur. I just sit back. It's like, all right, I'm just going to watch.
Talk trash. You know what sucks about Twitter or any social media or any text is that the sarcasm can't be picked up. So I think half of my jokes don't work.
There should be some sort of font. That's just
has
like
to be
sarcasm font.
Has to be.
Twitter, someone create that.
Somebody do it.
I'll use it.
All right. We're out of time, man. Thanks for joining me here again.
My pleasure.
Thanks to everybody for listening. And I will be back after the weekend with part two of my conversation with Jeff Deeney. Then no show Tuesday. And I guess back right here with you for Winky Wednesday next week, right?
Sounds good. I'm
in. Let's do it. That's what it's going to be next week right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.